Well, hello everybody. I hope you can see me and hear me okay. It's really great to be with you again. And today I'm going to be continuing on my message that I started last time, which was actually the first week that we were online, entitled Stop the Roller Coaster, I Want to Get Off. So if you remember from last time, I talked about the fact that life is a bit like a roller coaster. It throws us about. It's full of ups and downs and twists and turns. And, you know, I said that despite the fact that we live in a world which feels like a roller coaster, I really believe that God wants us to enjoy the ride, not just hang on for dear life, grit our teeth and close our eyes and just hope we get to the end okay. So I read from Philippians 4, verse 4, which says, "Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice." And I talked about how rejoicing is a choice that we make, and that when we choose to rejoice, that we can experience joy in the midst of our circumstances. And there were three specific things that I feel that God spoke to me about in relation to the roller coaster. And if you remember, I said last time that actually this was a message that God gave me before this whole situation happened. And so it's been amazing to me how actually God obviously knew what we would be going through right now and what we needed to hear right now. So and also what's been interesting is, as I've prepared for today, that over the last couple of the weeks that Daryl has spoken and Andrew has spoken, that they've both mentioned things that I'm going to be talking about as well today. So, you know, I think God knows what we need to hear, doesn't he? He knows our hearts, and I'm really encouraged that God knows beforehand, and he orchestrates things so that we can receive from him right what we need at the time that we need it. So I talked about the three things in relation to the roller coaster. So the slow climb, the great drop, and the loop the loop. So the slow climb of dread, worry, and fear, the great drop of disappointment and discouragement, and the loop when your world turns upside down. And last time we talked about the slow climb. So we talked about dread and worry and fear, and that sense of the slow climb being that anticipation that something bad is going to happen, that the whole thing of fear and worry. And I talked about how we can overcome that with prayer and thanksgiving, obedience, and thinking about what we're thinking about and focusing our mind on the things of God. And I said again that I felt that choosing to rejoice in times of fear and worry can actually lead to greater experience of peace and joy. So today, I'm going to talk about the great drop of disappointment and discouragement. Now, disappointment and discouragement are actually all normal parts of life, aren't they? But they can easily rob us of our joy. They can bring us down very quickly, like that drop and the roller coaster, or there can be a gradual erosion of our joy over time as perhaps we experience a number of different disappointments and discouragements, and we can become discouraged. So I want us to look at the definitions of disappoint and discouragement so we can see perhaps how that might be affecting us. So the definition of disappoint is to fail to meet the expectations, hopes, desires, or standards of, to let down, to prevent the fulfillment of a plan, intention, etc., to frustrate, to thwart. And the definition of discourage is to deprive of courage, hope, or confidence, to deprive of the will to persist in something, to lose spirit or enthusiasm. So disappointments can lead to discouragement. And discouragement can cause us to lose our enthusiasm, our enjoyment of life, and our motivation to keep going. But let's be honest, life can be disappointing at times, and it's easy to become discouraged, especially right now. So many of you will have had to cancel holidays, celebrations, special events. Your work may have changed or even stopped completely. You might be home with children and unable to get 5 minutes on your own. We can't even do the simple things, can we? Like hug members of our family that don't live with us. And as time goes on, we can really feel that erosion of our joy. It just gets harder. Disappointment is part of our lives right now, but you may have also experienced other major disappointments in your life. Because let's be honest, life doesn't always turn out the way we hoped. And when things don't turn out the way we hoped, we can become discouraged and lose motivation to keep going. Life feels hard. We can feel a sense of loss. Our sense of purpose and direction can be affected. We can lose our joy. Our mood can take a nosedive and our enthusiasm dries up. Anybody identify with that? I know I have. The truth is that, you know, if we're looking to our circumstances for encouragement and hope, we're going to be disappointed. And if our sense of fulfillment comes from what the world can offer, or even what the church can offer, we will be setting ourselves up for disappointment and discouragement. Now, Romans 10, verse 11, in the Passion Translation, says, "For the scriptures encourage us with these words, everyone who believes in him will never be disappointed." And the Amplified Version says, "For the scripture says, whoever believes in him, whoever adheres to, sticks to, trusts in, and relies on him, will not be disappointed in his expectations." So if we put our hope in anything other than God, or anyone other than God, we will be disappointed at some point. God is the only one who will not disappoint us. And I know sometimes we can feel disappointed with God when he doesn't perhaps answer our prayers the way we'd want him to. But, you know, trusting him is trusting him in the middle of the unknown and the unanswered questions, even when we don't understand. So what do we do with our disappointment? Well, we come to God, who is our joy and our hope. Psalm 43 in the Amplified Version, verses 4 to 5, says, "Then I will go to the altar of God, to God my exceeding joy. With the lyre I will praise you, O God, my God. Why are you in despair, O my soul? And why are you restless and disturbed within me? Hope in God and wait expectantly for him, for I shall again praise him, the help of my sad countenance and my God." You know, we can hope for lots of things, can't we? A sunny day, a pay rise, a good night's sleep, or even for our children not to fight for just half an hour. But, you know, actually, there's no guarantee that we'll get what we hope for. But biblical hope is completely different. Biblical hope, the word that's used in the Bible for hope, is translated the expectation of good. There is no doubt about it. And we've just read in Psalm 43, hope in God and wait expectantly for him. So Daryl spoke on Easter Sunday about the living hope we have in Jesus. There is a certainty about this hope. It's not a vague desire that things might be okay. And the reason we have this certainty is because of the one we're placing our hope in, the God of hope, the God who is good and is working for our good. So even when things haven't turned out the way we've hoped, we can still have hope. Even in the midst of trouble, we can rejoice that God is still working. As the words of one of our favourite songs says, "Even when I don't see it, he's working. Even when I don't feel it, he's working." We are hoping in God, not in our circumstances. We are hoping in the one who can change our circumstances. But more importantly, as Andrew said last week, he can change us in the midst of our circumstances. In times of discouragement and disappointment, we do need the encouragement of others, don't we? And this is part of our purpose as a church, as a family of God, to encourage one another. Hebrews 3:13 says to encourage one another daily. But when we can't meet together, it's really difficult to get that encouragement. And I know a lot of you are encouraging one another with phone calls and messages of support, and that's great. It's really important, especially at this time when we can't meet. And as a society, it's been great to see people encouraging the frontline workers of all kinds with messages of support and clapping and fundraising. And as someone who works in the NHS myself, I want to say how much we really appreciate that support. And each of us can be encouragers all the time, can't we, when we communicate with others, whether that's the staff at the supermarket or whether we're messaging people online. We can be encouragers. But what if we don't get any encouragement from anyone else? David in the Old Testament may be known for his victories, but he certainly experienced his fair share of disappointments. And in 1 Samuel chapter 30, we read of a story of where David's enemies attacked the town where David and all his fighting men, where their wives and children were living. And they attacked the town and took his wives and children away as captives. And verse 4 says that David and his men wept aloud until they had no strength left to weep. But we read in verse 6, and David was greatly distressed, for the people spoke of stoning him because of the soul of all the people was grieved, every man for his sons and daughters. But David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. Now, it was only when I read that again yesterday that I realized it didn't say they were sad about the fact their wives had been taken away, only their sons and daughters. But I'm sure they were just as bothered about their wives. But in the midst of a desperate situation, David encouraged himself in the Lord. In the midst of our disappointing, discouraging, and sometimes desperate situations, we can encourage ourselves in the Lord. As Daryl said this morning, we can lift our eyes up to the Lord. When we're discouraged, when we're disappointed, we can come back to the God who is our hope, our Father who loves us. We can remind ourselves of his promises, his word. We can encourage ourselves. Now, the word translated encouraged in this verse means to be courageous, to be strong, to be resolute, to be able to persist. Now, I don't know about you, but, you know, as time goes on, it can feel hard to keep going. But when we feel like giving up, there's no one around to, maybe no one around to encourage us, but we can encourage ourselves. Now, do you ever talk to yourself? Well, I find in my household, it's the only way to get a sensible answer. But no, not really. But the psalm we just read says, why are you in despair, O my soul? Why are you restless and disturbed within me? Hope in God and wait expectantly for him, for I shall again praise him, the help of my sad countenance and my God. The psalmist is talking to himself. He's encouraging himself to hope in God, to praise him because he is his help. And sometimes we need to give ourselves a good talking to. I do this all the time. Sometimes I even listen to myself. But seriously, being really honest with you, I was struggling, particularly at the beginning of this week. Like many of us, I was feeling overwhelmed by the situation at work and in the world around us. And I had to give myself a good talking to. You see, I don't believe that feeling sad is wrong. If, goodness me, if we didn't feel sad about the situation we're in right now, there'd be something wrong with us, wouldn't there? It's natural that we should feel sad. But you know, like I know, that there's a difference between that sadness and that deeper depression where we feel we're getting into that pit, which is very difficult to get out of. And so, as I said last time, it's important that we recognize what we're thinking about in these situations. Because actually, if we're honest, many of us do talk to ourselves, if not out loud, then in our thought processes. And sometimes what we're thinking to ourselves is not really helpful. You know, if we're telling ourselves, I can't cope with this, if we're telling ourselves, this is rubbish and it's hopeless and it's never going to end and I'm never going to be feeling happier than I am today, then, you know, it's really going to be hard for us to pick ourselves up. But if we encourage ourselves with the word of God, with the truth about who he is and what he has done and what he will do, then the Holy Spirit, who is the encourager, will bring God's word alive to us, into our spirits, and joy can arise. You see, whatever disappointments we may face, whatever discouragements have come our way, I believe we have reason to rejoice because we have hope. Last week, Andrew spoke from Habakkuk. He didn't know I was going to use this scripture today. So maybe God feels we need a reminder. So from Habakkuk chapter 3, verse 17 to 19, and this is from the Amplified Version. Though the fig tree does not blossom and there is no fruit on the vines, though the yield of the olive fails and the field produce no food, Though the flock is cut off from the fold and there are no cattle in the stalls, yet I will choose to rejoice in the Lord. I will choose to shout in exultation in the victorious God of my salvation. The Lord God is my strength, my source of courage, my invincible army. He has made my feet steady and sure, like hinds' feet, and makes me walk forward with spiritual confidence on my high places of challenge and responsibility. Now, maybe if this was rewritten for our times today, it might say, though I'm not allowed out of the house and there's no loo roll left in the shops, though my finances are stretched and my kids are driving me crazy, though I can't see my family and hug the ones I love, yet I will choose to rejoice in the Lord. I will choose to shout in exultation in the victorious God of my salvation. The Lord is my strength, my source of courage, my invincible army. He has made my feet steady and sure like hinds' feet, and makes me walk forward with spiritual confidence on my high places of challenge and responsibility. Last week, Andrew talked about the importance of that word yet. Yet I will choose to rejoice. So you may be feeling disappointed and discouraged this morning, but will you choose to rejoice anyway? Whatever we see now, this is not the end of the story. And I want to finish today with a reminder of a really familiar verse from Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. They are plans for good and not for disaster, to give you a future and a hope. We have reason to rejoice today because we can hope in a faithful, unchanging, all-powerful, all-knowing, ever-present God. So I'm encouraging myself and all of us today to rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Thank you, folks.